You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we are off and running, and we are glad that you've decided to drop by. We have a really good show on tap for you, including Kirk Herbstreit later on. We'll talk more about that in a minute. Let's get to some headlines right now as we begin Tuesday. Brian Harsin, he wants Auburn to learn valuable lessons. I think I heard him say yesterday that there is no player of the week because we lost the game. I don't know about you. I like that attitude. What about the Vols? You happy with them? What about them? Come on. They need their run defense to be elite. They need a lot of things to be elite. Do you know where they're going? They're going to the swamp. You don't get out alive in the swamp unless you're a Gator or Alabama for that matter. Oh, I forgot. LSU won. Has Florida lost two SEC games in a row at the swamp? Forget what I just said. Anyway, redemption week for LSU. The Tigers are still in the SEC hunt. Yes, I know they lost a game, but they got a big one. And if you're optimistic about the LSU Tigers, you might want to put on Dr. Phil, because they only have a 44% chance of winning, according to the FPI. 42 against Auburn. That's a home game. Does anyone know the last time LSU lost to Auburn at home? 59% chance of winning at Kentucky. That's surprising. 34% against Florida. In a 20, is that possible? LSU has only a 23% chance of winning against Ole Miss. Who's doing the FPI? Lane Kiffin's son? Anyway, that's some interest. Again, I don't believe in metrics, but somebody does. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we roll on. So we got some high-profile games coming up this weekend, and Pat Forty, who wrote that article but not the headline, will join us in a little while. One of the best in the business. We had Pete Thamel yesterday, 40 today. Can you get any better than that? Mizzou, Connor Basilak is ready for Boston College, and he, Connor Basilak, will join us this afternoon. Pat Forty starts it off. Matt Stinchcomb. I don't know. I never realized exactly how to say his name. Basilak at 5 and Herbie at 6. Nice. And your phone calls. We had a lot of conversation about our phone calls yesterday, about how crazy they were. Well, today is another day, and we intend to get right down to it. Justin starts us off from Mississippi. Hello, Justin.
Hey, how you doing, Paul?
Justin, we're doing great.
Good. Hey, I'm a first-time caller, and I'm a lifelong Gator fan, and I just wanted to call in and say that I was really proud of the way they played against Alabama. You know, the majority of people didn't give us a chance against them, and they were really close to shocking the world and pulling off the upset. But
they were.
I mean, there's a lot of people. I mean, a lot of people called in. The majority of people called into the show last week that, you know, hating on Florida, and I don't understand. You know, I guess a lot of them either Tennessee fans or Kentucky fans or Georgia fans for the most part, I guess. But I just don't understand the hatred out there against them, because, you know, Coach Mullen, I mean, he's proved how good a coach he is. I mean, all these other schools wish that they could play Alabama, just keep it close against them. You know, we almost beat them two times past the times we played them. I mean, the stats prove it, you know. All these other schools play Alabama. They're getting blowed out by four touchdowns. But Florida plays them better than any school in the country. And I just don't understand all the hatred against Florida.
What do you think it is, Justin? Why do you think everybody hates Florida?
The only thing I can think of is that we beat up on their schools a lot, I guess, for the most part. Whoever the people are that's calling in, that's the only thing that makes sense to me.
You get a lot of Georgia fans calling in hating on Florida. Why do you think that is?
Because we beat up. I'm glad Steve finally decided to retire, because once he got to Florida, we owned Georgia. And
okay. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Marcia is in Destin, and you're on the air. Hello, Marcia.
Hey, this is Martha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm from Destin.
Yes, I'm Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Great. What's your sign?
I'm good. I'm doing pretty good living here in Destin. Of course, I've talked to you before.
Well, Destin's a great place. I frankly wish I was in Destin today versus where I am, where it's raining and cold.
I hear you. Listen, first off, I wanted to ask you a question. When you was in Gainesville last week, what was you going to do if that gator come towards you?
Martha, I was going to die. That's what I was going to do. when you get to my age, you don't do, you know, when you're 16, you might do stupid things like that, but you're not supposed to do it when you're an adult. I've been asked that question. In fact, my boss asked me that question about 2 hours ago. And for those who missed it, this is what happened. I'm kind of rattling the gator right here. I'm getting a little close. Don't get that close now. What's interesting is the gator never moved toward me, but I realized later, Martha, the gator, they don't snap at you. They race at you. And
right.
Had the gator done that and wrapped his arms around my neck,
he would have to see how fast you can move. Huh?
I couldn't have moved at that point because he would have been on me. And you can put your cliche in there however you like. I think he then would have gone after my nose first. And at that point, right. I'm hoping the trainer or Tebow would have been the fastest guy, wouldn't he?
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't think I would have lost anything more than a nose, let me put it that way. But I do think I would have had to throw away the shirt because it would have had too much blood on it.
I hear you. Well, let me ask you this.
Okay.
I wanted to talk about my Gators, the real Gators. No.
Not the fake Gators.
The football Gators, let me say that. I was going to ask you about what you thought as far as the way they competed in the game, and I think we did do a good job, although we never win anything for almost, you know, you got to win it, and I realize that. And also, I wanted to take exception to your friend from Georgia, Mike Grissom, saying what he did about our coach last week. That really kind of
he called it a clown show. I cannot wait to get Griff back on here because Griff was...
Well, he owes him an apology, that's
okay,
for sure.
Okay, well, I tell you what, I am demanding right now that when Griff comes on this program, Wednesday on Thursday, that he personally apologizes to Dan Mullen for calling him a clown show.
That's right, because, I mean, what else did he say? Coach done? You know, his coach has not done much better.
He should apologize to you as well, Martha. Thank you. Yeah, I'm just going to have to say right now, I'm giving Griff 48-hour notice. He better be apologizing when he comes up here. No more cheap shots at Dan Mullen, calling them a clown show. And he said a bunch of other things too, didn't he? Well, we'll have to. We have the luxury here of we can cut what he said about Dan Mullen and play it for him in case he has forgotten. That's the one thing about television, that once you say it, it's here. It's not leaving. Let's continue. Stanley is up next. Hello, Stanley.
Hey, what's up, fine boy? How you doing today, man?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Yeah, I kind of broke tradition today. I'm actually talking to you on the air. Usually what I do, I call and I talk to the guys who screen the calls.
Right.
And by the time we get through talking, they tell me everything I need to know, so I just hang up and listen to other callers.
Well,
but so I'm going to break the tradition.
I'm glad
and
you got on, because
so
we need good callers like you.
Yeah, well, let me ask you three things, Merv. First of all, yesterday you had somebody call the show and they said Bama fans are spoiled. You think Bama fans spoiled?
No, Bama fans aren't spoiled.
You know, because I was listening, I said, wait a minute, we take pride in the team, but I don't think, we're not arrogant. I'd rather be spoiled. I don't want to be arrogant.
No, listen, Stanley, one thing you could never say about Alabama fans, is their arrogance.
Also, the Penn State people, why are they so mad at Greg McElroy, man? He told the truth. If they went to
SEC, I don't understand that. I mean, Penn State folks are upset with McElroy, and then I get thrown into it because McElroy was here. I mean, McElroy answered a question from me. He didn't, like, come on volunteering it.
Oh, yeah, you took the they mad. Don't go up to Pennsylvania, man. They got signs up there saying anybody but Paul.
Yeah, well, you know what? I can think of some places I'd rather go than Pennsylvania right now.
Yeah, because I'm saying myself, if he was right, if they were in the SEC, they would probably be third in the East.
Well, I mean, first of all, they're not even they're probably about third right now in their own league. You got Iowa.
Right.
Iowa's probably the best team in the league. Michigan,
yeah.
Michigan State, maybe Wisconsin when they get through this weekend. I don't know. No, not Wisconsin because Penn State beat Wisconsin. But right now they'd be about third or fourth in their own league. So what are they upset with McElroy about?
And I'm thinking they might even be third in the ACC.
They might even be behind Ohio State.
Right
they might be fourth or fifth in their own league.
Yeah. Also, Paul, it's one thing I'm not going to talk to you about there. Somebody told me you could give me the hookup to some, so we'll talk about that off the air, man. But I'm going to let you get back to your other callers. Like I said, I broke tradition today, but I just had to get that off my chest.
Well, Stanley, I'm glad you called in. This was a great call. And by the way, if you want to talk to Danny and Kubiak or Jamari, you're welcome to it. But the object of calling the show is to be on the air. Capiche? We will head to a break. We have a lot of guests, including Pat Forty, joining us in a few minutes. Connor Basilak, Kirk Herbstreit.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
We welcome all of you back. Great to have you here and more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. And let's talk to Bobby, who is up next. Hey, Bobby.
Hey, Paul. Good to talk to you again.
Thank you.
Back in the late 80s, I went to a football camp that was down here. And a coach got up and he looked around. There's probably about 20 of us there. So high school coaches in college. And he looked around and he said, "You know what? My team's number 4. And he held his hand up with the 4. He looked around. He said, "You know what? My team's number 2. He says, "Do you ever hear fan bases talk about that? Every fan base, they're number 1. That's why they have the number 1 styrofoam thing. He said that there are people out there that will tell you how to make the plays or put in my kid. My kid's better than your kid in the high school part. College, you don't have that. But he just explained a lot of things about how you have to keep your game and don't let the fan base rule what you do, because if you do, then you've lost it. And you got delusional fans like Joe and his son, Ledger, you know, just out there wanting to fire coaches that have been through so much training, so much. They got to execute. You got to have the players to execute the play, because you may run that play 10 times and 9 times it worked. That one time it may not. But, you know, there's a lot involved in what these people don't understand. They've never really been in that part of the game.
No, it's a good point, Bobby. Thank you for sharing that. Appreciate it very, very much. Let's continue with more phone calls right here. And Jay is up next in Georgia. Hello, Jay.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I got a couple of quick questions. First of all, I've been an avid Bama fan, and since the 60s, I've been watching SEC football. I think this year the balance of the league is probably better than I've ever seen it. What do you think about that, Paul?
Well, I think it's possible. I would like to see a little more, because one thing that's a little bit deceiving right now is we've only had a smattering of SEC games. And, I think we've only had, two or three. So when we start seeing those games, which we will this week and especially next, you'll start figuring out who's good and who's not. And I'm not ready to – I don't know that yet because – there are three or four schools. I mean, what do we know about A&M? What do we really know about Arkansas? I don't mean that as a shot, but we'll find out. This one of those schools will emerge this weekend. LSU and Mississippi State, same question there. So I think we're getting close to some pretty strong opinions, but we haven't gotten there yet.
About the Alabama-Florida game, Alabama looked phenomenal the first quarter. And then all of a sudden everything dropped off. What do you think contributed to that? Was it adjustments made by Florida or Alabama just kind of letting up?
Well, I think intensity is a tough thing to have when things don't go well. And I think ultimately it really starts on the offense and defensive line. And Florida's offensive line really started dominating a defensive line that I don't think many of us thought was possible. I can't wait to ask Matt Stinchcomb about that, because he's a lineman and he will be able to explain exactly what was going on there. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Let's continue with more phone calls. And Preston is up next. Good afternoon, Preston.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Very well. Thank you.
I've been seeing a bunch of people praising Dan Mullen for a couple one-possession losses to Florida, and I'm just wondering why you think everybody's praising him for that when the biggest knock on Kirby Smart is that he does the same thing when he plays Alabama in his first couple of years.
Well, I think there are certain coaches that get a little more of a free ride with the media, and I don't mean this as a shot at Mullen, but I think he does. I think analysts tend to overreach, and I'll try not to include myself in that group, although I'm as guilty of it, maybe more guilty than anyone. So we react to things. We try to say things that are a little unpredictable. And I think with Dan Mullen, you know, he's the best. Let's think about the things we talk about with Dan Mullen. Best play caller in America. Is he? Is he better than Lane Kiffin? Is he better than Jimbo Fisher? These are just questions you have to ask. You know, what about his management of the program? He's there 4 years. Should we be surprised that in a coach's fourth season that they're playing close games? Or is it because Alabama is at such a different level perceptively that if you play them two close games, then you have done something that no one else has done? So I don't know how to answer that, because I think Kirby Smart, you know, probably had the best opportunity to beat Alabama of anyone, you know, in the national championship game, and even the next year when he was ahead by more. And, you know, some coaches we like to praise and some we don't. But I agree with you on Kirby Smart. I don't think he's ever deserved any of the criticism that he's gotten.
Well, that's fair. And also, I wanted to hear your take on George Pickens and Darnell Washington coming back soon for the Bulldogs, and how their offense is going to be with them. And you think they're going to be a more complete football team?
Yeah. Well, when they get back, I think they will. And I think that's the one thing we haven't seen yet about the Dogs. I think they are still incomplete offensively, and I want to see them to be, you know, a little bit more explosive. And ultimately, we will. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. More to come, including a conversation with Pat Forty, one of the preeminent writers of college football in the country. He is just around the corner.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. It's even better to have Pat Forty from SI joining us, as he is one of the most comprehensive and best reporters and columnists that covers the game. Pat, thank you for joining us. We've been obsessing over the Florida game against Alabama. Everyone has a different opinion, and I'm really curious what your takeaway from that affair was. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. My takeaway was, it was a heck of a game. If you are Alabama and you're Nick Saban, you're sitting there this week saying, we gave up 258 rushing yards to anyone. I mean, that is a very, very rare thing. The last time they gave up more than that was to Ezekiel Elliott in Ohio State in that very memorable playoff loss. And so you go back and look at your defense, which I know they've had some injuries, but was still supposed to be the strong suit of this team, and say, we got to get better against the run, because there's some other teams that can run it in this league too. So that's the concern there. And that's why, like, I've got Alabama number 4 in my poll, because while it was a good win in a tough environment against a better team than we thought, it still exposed a little bit of weakness in Alabama.
Yeah, I know you have Georgia 1. I saw that the other day. So, and not to go loco here on your picks, you're reacting to what you see. But I think the Alabama fans who will be calling after you hang up will be pestering me for explanation and probably wanting your home address. So let me let you go ahead and settle that issue here. Is that a snapshot, or is that a project? What is that when you rank Alabama that low?
Yeah, that's today. I mean, I'm not projecting that Georgia will win the national championship. I'm not projecting anything like that. But as of today, you know, that's where I say that Georgia, with the neutral field win against Clemson, with pounding a decent UAB team, and with dominating South Carolina, has showed me a little bit more than Alabama, and a little bit more than Penn State, and a very little bit more than Oregon. I think those are my top 4 teams. The other thing, for Alabama fans, first of all, my rankings don't matter. I have no say in things. Secondly, it's September. Third, be in the top 4. It doesn't matter whether you're 1, 2, 3, or 4. So, you know, I mean, for those reasons, rankings now don't mean a hill of beans. But I think that Georgia looks like a more complete team, although they still have some issues with their team. But that's my take right now.
And Pat, as you look ahead, everyone knows Alabama's schedule after this weekend is rather interesting, with Ole Miss and A&M back to back. How do you see this team managing this run, especially against Ole Miss?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. The SEC West looks even better than it usually does, and it always looks good. But you look at Ole Miss, you look at Arkansas, even Mississippi State, with the way they handled NC State. I mean, there's just no real easy spots in that division. But the Mississippi game becomes much more intriguing. I still think I want to see Mississippi's defense do it against Alabama's talent. But that the unit, no matter what, is better than it had been last year, obviously. Much better. You know, the linebacker transfer from Maryland's made a big difference. They're schemed well, I think. You know, they're better. They're more physical on that side. But then the other side, I mean, they're elite. You know, Matt Corral, and they can run the ball. And that's where, if you're Alabama, you say, geez, we just got trampled on the ground by Florida. we got to play a team with better balance in Ole Miss, or are we going to be ready?
Talking to Pat Forte of Sports Illustrated, who certainly has a fascinating perspective on college football. Pat, Dan Mullen getting a lot of credit, and I know he doesn't want to be praised for almost beating Nick Saban two times in a row, but what is your takeaway of this Gator team, especially as we look ahead to that SEC East with Georgia sitting there in about 5 weeks?
Yeah, Gators better than I anticipated them being. You know, they showed me something for sure in that game, not just the ability to run the ball, but that's even without having Anthony Richardson playing, but just, you know, a toughness to them and a belief. And that, you know, that comes from Mullen. Mullen's a cocky guy, and I think he transmits to his teams in a good way, you know, that they believe. Why shouldn't they win? They believed that at Mississippi State when there were decades of reasons why they shouldn't have won, and they did very well there. And I think he's carried that to Florida, where there's more reasons to think you should win. So I'm impressed by the job he's done, really since he got there, but this year especially, at least so far. I mean, they look like a very good, legitimate team that will give Georgia a run for its money in the cocktail party.
Pat, I know you've been out at a lot of games this year, including, and I want to ask you about a few of the schools that we don't talk about as much. One, Cincinnati, who has one of the most intriguing two-game stretches, well, not two-game stretches, but last week and, of course, next week that they've had in terms of trying to get to the playoff. They're waiting for Notre Dame after Notre Dame's big celebrated matchup this week at Soldier Field. BYU, another school that many believe could crash the party. How would you assess these two as potential interlopers into the elite CFP Final Four?
I love Cincinnati, and they're just their position right now. You hope for their sake that the win over Indiana holds up as a real quality win. You know, go on the road, Big Ten, Indiana's biggest non-conference crowd since 1987. Indiana never has atmosphere, but they had atmosphere for this game. And they've got pretty good talent on that team, and they got Cincinnati down 14-0, and then Cincinnati rallied the way you would expect a veteran quality team to do and end up pulling away and winning by two touchdowns. I like everything about Cincinnati. I don't love their offensive line. I don't know whether how much explosiveness they have at the skill positions, but everything else about the team, quarterback, and every position on defense, I think they're really, really good, and they're well coached. And the schedule does give them a chance because you have that Big Ten road win. And now if you can go get Notre Dame and, as you alluded to, catch them at the right time on the schedule, if you can win there, boy, you're sitting in a pretty promising position going into AAC play.
We're talking to Pat Forte. Can BYU run the table and get in, or are they too far back?
Well, I think they've got a shot at running the table. They've still got, you know, it's an interesting schedule as an independent. They've still got some Power 5 opponents left. They've got Boise State. So it's a much better schedule than last year. You know, last year they were a very good team that played nobody other than Coastal Carolina, so they never realistically had a chance. This year, I mean, they can put together a decent resume. I don't know how it would stack up, but if it's an undefeated resume, they would merit some attention. They're 3-0 against the Pac-12, and while the Pac-12 is not great, it's still 3-0 against the Pac-12. And we'll see, you know, what they got here coming up. I like everything about that team except the run defense is not great. I think they're giving up overall on defense. I think they're giving up 6.1 yards per play, which is too much, and might be an indication that somebody's going to come along with a hot offense that doesn't make as many mistakes as Arizona State did, and probably beat them. But if they do get to 12-0, that's an interesting argument.
Pat, it was a week ago that we were sitting around here reacting to what USC did. They went out and, you know, really, really put a nice win on the board, a comeback win. Where is that coaching search right now?
You know, I still think it's obviously in the infancy stages, and they're going to be waiting to find out who's interested in them. You know, I think most of the lists that have been out there make sense and are relatively accurate as far as who USC might be interested in. And then it's just a question, does James Franklin want to go? Does Luke Fickell want to go? You know, and then you get past those two, and maybe is it a P.J. Fleck, a Matt Campbell, that sort of thing, guys who have been very Midwest-based, as has Fickell, quite frankly. I think Chris Peterson's a tantalizing option sitting out there. He's given no indication, at least publicly, that I've seen, that he is ready to come back to coaching. But if he is, I think he would be a great hire there. He would give them scheme. He would give them legitimacy. He would give them understanding of the recruiting terrain. I think he would have a lot to offer. But, you know, still a long, long, long way to go, I think, before they can get their arms around where they want to go with this thing.
Pat Forty, Sports Illustrated, always great with his time. Pat, thanks so much. We will talk to you very, very soon, I hope.
All right, my pleasure, Paul. Thank you.
Great stuff from Pat Forty. And again, if you missed Pat, you've got to follow Pat and read his stuff in Sports Illustrated. Nobody covers college football better. He did have Alabama number four in his latest poll. Number four. You heard that correctly.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we're back again. Really appreciated Pat Forty dropping by and also dropping Alabama to number four in his latest poll. Is that blasphemous or not?
You can't go there.
Seems like it. Where's Legend? Legend's ought to be going, Pat Forty. Michael is first up. Hey, Michael.
Hello, Mr. Feinbaum. I'm glad that I beat Legend to call in on this deal.
Well, good.
Evidently, Sports Illustrated has the person that's in charge of their swimsuit issue doing the making the calls
like
on the
what
NCAA
a good job that
football.
Is.
I'm telling you what, that guy they need the drug testing, and I'm not just saying that because I'm an Alabama fan. But I'm saying it because, really, if you got Penn State number two and Oregon number three, just sit and chew on that for a minute. Just absolutely ridiculous with what's been, you know, what you've looked at out there as far as what's going on. I think that there's a lot of things shaking out right now. It's a different season. I don't think we have the quality teams, period, at the top that we had last year. I don't think it's as good as anything. But let me tell you what happened in Gainesville, and I hate to say it because I love Coach Saban, think the world of him, obviously. But there's a few guys that at times when we've played them, we have failed to make the adjustments or correct some things at halftime, and that's where they've gotten us in that second half, thinking it's the same pattern that happened to us in the SEC championship game. They got us again. I know there's a whole different set of players and stuff, but there was a lot of confusion and stuff on the defense. And a lot of people keep looking at the statistics strictly, saying, oh, man, they ran for this much yardage and that kind of thing. Well, there's a lot more that goes on, you know, goes into that. It's not like they just lined up and said, we're going to run the ball every play, and then they were able to run it down our throat. So it's not like they just manhandled the guys. It's a frankly, I hate to say it, but we got out coached in the second half, and it's the second time that's happened, you know, one after another. Now, for all the rest of the Alabama fans out there, I'll say this though: you know what Coach Saban's record is when you play a team a second time, and I guarantee you, I do. I'm licking my chops. I hope we get them again in the SEC championship game, because I don't think it'll go down like that again. I almost guarantee it. So, it wasn't pretty. It was ugly at times with, some of the things there. But I think it's things that the guys will get corrected. And I think that Coach Saban might be the first one to admit that, hey, we got out maneuvered there in the second half. That was, I think that really, if somebody asked him specifically, he might confess that maybe they did get a little outcoached there in that second half.
I'll tell you what, if I can get him on the show tomorrow, I'll just point blank ask him, do you feel like you were outcoached, Coach Saban? John is up next in Rochester. Hello, John.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
John, we're doing great. Thank you.
Always enjoy the show. I was just also very disappointed in Nick Saban. At right before the end of the half, we had two timeouts in about a minute 30, and they were punting from their 35, 40-yard line. And we let the clock run right down, and we ran just one play to run out the clock. I was so pissed about that. I thought every year there's always at least a dozen coaches that have terrible time management. And Nick Saban, it ain't the first time he's done something like that. Your thoughts on that?
I'm trying to remember at that point, was it 21-3 or had they scored again? No, they had scored.
It was 21-9.
21-9. No, at that point, I would probably be a little more aggressive because you've got a chance. You've already lost a little momentum, and I'm trying to remember the context. I do remember it now. So I'm with you. Nick Saban. I don't know what his thought was. Maybe he didn't like what he saw, the chemistry, the karma on this team, and he said, let's get out of here. Although Florida was going to get the ball first.
Exactly. Yeah. That was what I was going to add. Florida was getting the ball back, and they ended up scoring it on that drive.
They sure did. At that point in time, the game started to get away from Alabama a little bit, and not a little bit, a lot. That's a really great perception there. Hey, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Good to have you back. Let's check in with Michael, who is up next in Georgia. Hey, Michael.
Hey, Paul. How you doing?
Michael, we're doing well. Thank you.
I'm hearing all this talk about the Gator-Alabama game. To me, Alabama is not who we think they are this year. I mean, you look at it this way. I mean, yeah, they beat Miami, but Miami only beat App State by two. And then Mercer held them no points in the first quarter. So all these Florida fans talking about, oh, we beat Bama. But do you think that Bama's the team as they always been?
I don't know the answer to that yet, Michael. And, I think Alabama survived against a really good team in a hostile environment. I need to see more. Like I need to wait very long either. A week from Saturday, we'll see Alabama against the most explosive offense in the SEC. And the next week, we'll see them against one of the better defenses. And if Alabama survives Ole Miss and Texas A&M, I really don't have too many issues after that. But they are in a very difficult predicament, though. Thanks for the call. The pressure may help them. Hey, thanks. Kathy is up next in Georgia. Hello, Kathy.
Hi, Paul. This is Kathy again.
Thank you.
So your first caller, he made a statement that they beat us. Their record was better, but it's not. We got them 99-98. We're still ahead of them. Now, they may have won more championships at this time, but let your friend know that we still own them as far as our series together, the Dogs and the Gators. So just let him know. But I do feel like for Alabama that Nick did not play, the defense just did not play like they used to. They was just not in there and hitting them and doing like they usually do. It's like they slacked off.
Thank you, Kathy. Big D is up next in North Carolina. Hello, Big D.
Hey, Paul, how are you doing?
Big D, we're doing great.
I'm a long-time watcher and listener of your show, but first-time caller, I really enjoy it. But I want to talk to you about Alabama. I've been an Alabama fan since Coach Bryant. My observation of the game Saturday was Alabama's defensive interior linemen. They didn't have a good game at all. They wasn't putting any pressure whatsoever on Florida's quarterback. He's standing back there 6 to 9 seconds just about every play, and you need to put some kind of a rush on him. They didn't have any rush whatsoever the whole ball game. That's
That's not unusual, Big D. That's the way Alabama plays these days, and I'm with you. You have to be more aggressive. Hey, I hate to run. We're up against a break. We have a lot to do. Matt Stinchcomb. We'll talk to Kirk Herbstreit. Who know else? Who know? Oh, Cooper Basilak will drop by as well. And by the way, not only will Cooper be here, his brother Connor will join us.